No, you might have to listen very acutely to my voice because I'm losing my voice. I don't know whether it's sickness or whether it was just shouting at the TV yesterday at the rugby. But bear with me in that. Tonight we're going to be looking at find the security you're looking for. And when I was thinking about this topic, security, I actually just realized how insecure I actually am. I rarely take the chance to actually think over it. And tonight, this is a really good opportunity for us to think about where do we place our security in. When I feel insecure, I just want to run away. I want to run away. I want to hide. I want to get away from all the busyness of life. And I want to distract myself. Basically, because the world is so big. I feel so big. And I feel so small. And the symptoms I'm talking about are avoidance and withdrawal. And I think as I go through these symptoms, you're probably going to be able to resonate with some of these. So avoidance and withdrawal, perfectionism and over-preparation, people-pleasing, seeking reassurance, negative coping mechanisms, drugs, alcohol, unhealthy habits, being on edge or anxious, sad, having physical tension, control issues, a need to be in control or a risk taker. When I saw that, I thought, what on earth do I do with that? Because I tick every one of those boxes at times. And we don't like experiencing those, do we? But the reality is that we do. And you might be feeling, maybe you're in a position right now where you feel fairly secure. You feel like life is going well. But once you've been through life, you kind of know that's not going to last long. Something's going to happen because the world we live in is unpredictable. There's so much change within this world and within our situations. And tonight we're looking at a book in the Bible called Luke, and we're looking at chapter 10 as Ian has read to us, and we're going to be seeing of how Jesus has been teaching and showing how he is king. He is the king who's come to save his people. And there's this 72. Okay, so Jesus sends 72, and we're reading about the 72 who have returned, so the same ones who've returned. And we're going to see what Jesus teaches them when they return. And my hope is that tonight you will be able to taste the victory over insecurities, and you will see that there is endless security in Jesus. So, firstly, we all face insecurities. The 72 were sent out by Jesus to tell people of the good news that Jesus has come. He is king. They're representing God's son, Jesus. But wait until you see what they're told to bring, or maybe what they shouldn't bring, or what might happen to them. So this is a little bit before what we've read. In verse 3, Jesus says, "I am sending you out as lambs into the midst of wolves." Lambs, wolves, they don't seem to get along, do they? There's not the fairest of fights. And surely these guys, if they're being likened to lambs going off the wolves, they feel fairly vulnerable. Lambs against wolves, they wouldn't stand a chance. The ferocious against the timid. The aggressive against the cute. The disciples, thanks. The disciples were sent out. They were vulnerable. What were they going to face? They had a message that people might not like to hear. They were the minority. Ultimately, they were at risk of attack, like lamb to wolves. I wonder if you know what that feels like. I do. You know, being out of my depth, surrounded by wolves and vultures of today. And I thought of, when I was thinking about this, the imposter syndrome. Have you heard of that? You know, where you fake it until you make it, or until you're found out. Or being in a place where we feel we shouldn't be, and we think those around us are looking for any opportunity just to catch us out, to bring an end to us. I remember when I first became a teacher, so I was a teacher before I came over here to be pastor in training. I was a teacher, and I remember having my first parent-teacher meeting. And I was a very inexperienced teacher, obviously. And questions came at me. Is my child where they should be? How do they get better at reading? Have you noticed how they form their B's? They find homework quite easy. What can you give them extra at home? Who do they play with? Do they eat all their dinner? And how often do they go to the toilet? All these questions. And I had no tutor, no support teacher to be able to fall back on. I felt so vulnerable. I felt like I was going to get found out that I was just this imposter. But I was a fully qualified teacher. When we are in vulnerable situations, whether it's at home, in workplace, school, or university, how can we feel secure, let alone be secure? If you are going through some insecurities and you feel unsafe at times, please do talk to one of us, because don't go through it alone. On crisis, we want to point you to Christ. But you have this idea that if I make one mistake, I'm done for. Forget about it. The end of my career. It's the end of my relationship. It's the end of my position. The end of my social media following. And the reason is because we are insecure when we're vulnerable. So that's the first thing. We're insecure when we're vulnerable. How else did the disciples feel insecure? Well, let's see again. So they're told they're going to be lambs to wolves. In verse 4, Jesus then told them to carry no money bag, no knapsack, and no sandals. No materials, no resources. Jesus was saying to take none of that with you. If they weren't feeling insecure before, I'm sure they might have been feeling it now. They had nothing. They were basically hoping that people would just provide for them. They had nothing. If you or I were to think of our most favorite things, things that we probably couldn't do without, well, all those things can easily disappear, can't they? Bikes get stolen. Clothes get worn out. Or if you're fashionable, clothes go out of style. So I'm told. Phones lose battery life. Books get tattered. Cars get problems and have to be replaced. Holidays get cancelled. Our neighbours were to go away last week to Dubai. Cancelled. They had 2 weeks holiday. So they went to stay with in-laws. All these things give us security. We depend on them. We have certainty, or we think we have certainty, that we will always have these things. Family, money, jobs. Or a hope that one day we'll get them. But these things, they come and go. Jobs come and go. Remember, coming up to 6 years ago, 23rd of March 2020, Great Britain announced national lockdown. COVID-19. Unprecedented, unexpected. We are all in a period of insecurity. Schools were closed. Working from home. Not able to work. Furlough. And in just a couple of weeks, our lives and our livelihoods were all at risk. Many people experienced their worst nightmares. Schools closed. Some students like that. Worst nightmares, redundancies, lost loved ones, loneliness, and depression. It all happened out of nowhere, didn't it? And many of us are actually still in recovery from it. We try to escape insecurities. But in an instant, all these things can be stripped away from us. I know a guy from back in Northern Ireland, and he had a successful business. It was a factory in a rural town. And they had a few big investors looking to partner with them. And one was just south of Dublin. And a deal was struck, hands were shaken, and the rural business made some key investments to sort of boost the business in preparation for this merging. But one afternoon, a meeting took place in Dublin, and this meeting changed the business and its owner's future. The deal fell through. Instead of what would be a thriving business, instead of what was a thriving business, was now one riddled with debt. Something that seemed certain just fell through. What we have can be lost in an instant. And the reality is that we have insecurities in the things that we have. So we're insecure when we're vulnerable. We're insecure with our resources. It's not looking good, is it? The third thing that they find insecurity is based on their acceptance. In verse 8 and verse 10, so again, we're looking at the sending out of the 72. In verse 8, Jesus says, whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. And then in verse 10, but whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you. Do you notice the difference? There's no guarantee that they're going to be accepted. Heading into the unknown. It was either going to be really good or it's going to be really hard. Not knowing if I'm accepted makes me feel insecure. Whether it's the family, friends, colleagues. I wonder, do you feel accepted? You know that moment when you walk into a room and it just goes silent? And then the paranoia takes over because you think they were talking about me. A couple of years ago, I remember in work a situation where the dynamic of the staff just changed around in one day. A colleague had a dispute with another one. They were a really well-loved character. Suddenly, as soon as that person entered the room, it was silent. Eyes looked away. There's no acknowledgement made. And they actually ended up eating their lunch and having their coffee on their own. They were rejected. And we all know that feeling, or we have that fear of feeling. Even if we feel accepted now, one slip up and I know that I'm going to be on my own. You might make choices in life so that you would be accepted. Remember that people pleasing. Be kind and people will respect you. They'll sit with you. They'll talk with you. But deep down you know you have a fear of being rejected. What if this acceptance comes to an end? We feel insecure when we're vulnerable. We feel insecure when we lack resources, and we feel insecure out of fear for acceptance. We've all experienced these. I think the reason you were able to laugh and things because you know what it feels like. Maybe to varying degrees. Or maybe you're in it right now where you feel insecure. And it's becoming more and more common, isn't it? But that's not what this life was supposed to be like. There shouldn't be insecurities here. God didn't create this world for insecurities. See, we get overwhelmed with insecurities because of sin. Sin is choosing to try and take control, to try and be king of our own lives. And as Christians, we believe we were created by God to show his incredible characteristics of love, joy, grace, peace. The first people, Adam and Eve, they chose to disobey God and try to be God. They trusted themselves so that they put their lives in creation's hands and not God, the Creator's hands. And so often we trust in this world, hoping for a better life here. And there's the problem. We're trusting in the thing, as Colin was saying, that's constantly changing. That's unpredictable. That's the reason we feel overwhelmed by many insecurities and uncertainty in life. We base our lives on the things around us. And there is no guarantee. There is no certainty and security. So it really is a poor investment. In this life, we will all face insecurities. But don't worry. I'm not stopping here. There is good news. You see, the disciples, they went out, they took on those securities. And this story doesn't end with them as lambs to wolves. Doesn't end with them resourceless. Doesn't end with them rejected. Because they taste victory over insecurities. Which brings us to our passage of verse 17. So we all face insecurities. Secondly, we can taste victory over insecurities. They probably faced a difficult time, the disciples. There are 72 of them, so the odds that some of them definitely had a tough time. And so they came back from their missions. Were they overwhelmed, downcast, sad, lonely? Let's look at verse 17. The 72 returned with joy. Joy. They came back with joy. What? They were vulnerable. They had nothing. They were possibly rejected. And yet, they came back filled with joy. How could they be filled with joy? Well, the disciples said in verse 17, continue on. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. There was the victory. The elements who try and take the joy. The disciples have victory over them. And even more, the higher power over those things. It's over. Jesus Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Satan, the biggest opposition to their security, was going to fall. Of course they had joy. Like the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe. When Aslan won the battle against the enemy, you know, the white witch, C.S. Lewis wrote, Peter's tired army cheered. The newcomers roared, and the enemy squealed. And ever till the wood re-echoed with the din of that onset. Peter's army cheered. Satan falling brought joy. The enemy will be defeated once and for all. And so, because of that, the disciples could then tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. They had the power. They had authority over the power of the enemy. Remember this world. And because of sin, we feel insecurities. This world has had authority from the enemy, Satan, which has given us these insecurities. And there's a spiritual war going on, but with one certain winner, God. The disciples were also protected. Look at the end of verse 19. Nothing shall hurt you. Can you see the security that the disciples had? Isn't it amazing? They had power, they had protection that gave them security. They could taste victory, victory over their insecurities. They were still going through the same situation. The same insecurities. We don't see any mention of them, you know, the lambs beating the wolves or them suddenly getting millions of pounds or, you know, you don't see that. So how could they have the victory? How did they have joy? What did they do? You know, surely there's a formula here that we could just follow. If we could just follow it, then we could have that joy. But there's a battle. There's a battle behind all these material things. And just like the spiritual war that the disciples were in, we're experiencing that too. And the disciples tasted victory. And here is the answer to getting that victory. Verse 17. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Verse 19, Jesus said, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Did you see? Jesus. Because of Jesus, they had victory. Jesus has authority. His name has power. Jesus is God's Son, and he is able to give victory over all insecurities. How? Well, Jesus was sent by his Father to come to this earth and live as a human. He lived the perfect life. He experienced all the difficulties that we face. But he didn't give in to them like we so often do. Vulnerable, a lack of resources, acceptance, rejection. He experienced it all, but he did not get overwhelmed. He took on our sinfulness, even though he did not sin. He did this because he loved us. The sin that entered the world and caused us to seek authority from it. The sin that causes us to be insecure, Jesus took it on himself. This sin needed a punishment. And Jesus, well, Jesus bore the wrath of God. He took the punishment so you would not have to. The perfect one took our imperfections. What's better? 3 days later, after he died, Jesus rose again. He defeated death, sin, Satan. They have no hold on him. The devil has lost the war, so we can taste the victorious side. We can taste victory over the insecurities that life throws at us by trusting our lives to him. The one who knows our purpose. And like the disciples, we can experience joy because we are saved. To turn from our ways and to follow him. We face insecurities. Secondly, we can taste victory over insecurities. And finally, we are offered endless security. Yes, the disciples taste a victory over their insecurities, but they still lived in a world that is insecure. Even though they had Jesus' authority, they were still in this broken world. As Christians, and for those who have trusted him, we are not untouchable. We are not invincible from the world. We are still open to illnesses, job loss, strife, loneliness, simply because we live in this world. Thinking we're invisible, being from Northern Ireland, just reminds me of the Titanic. And when the vice president of the company that built the ship heard that the Titanic was in trouble, he said this: "We place absolute confidence in the Titanic. We believe the boat is unsinkable." And apparently at the time of him actually even saying this, the Titanic was already at the bottom of the ocean. He believed the Titanic was unsinkable, even though there could be loads to deal with for the ship to sink. He still trusted the Titanic and his shipbuilding. And Jesus is kind of referring to this idea. Even though they were buzzing, the disciples were buzzing of what they had experienced in Jesus' victory, and they were full of joy, but they were still in this fallen world with loads of ways that could bring insecurity. They were not unsinkable in this world. So Jesus says in verse 20, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Jesus is telling them, don't take joy in what you've experienced now, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. If the disciples based their joy in this world, there would be disappointment. So he points them to a different place, the ultimate place. He points them to heaven. And with that, I'm going to read from Revelation 21, where John paints a little bit of a snapshot of what heaven will be like. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Did you hear that? He'll wipe away tears, no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. That is the ultimate place. There will be no insecurities there. There is endless security where Jesus is. And Jesus was telling his 72 disciples, don't rejoice in the world. Yes, there's good things in there. And yes, we see great things here, but there's more. Rejoice in what's to come, heaven and being with Christ in fullness. By believing and turning to follow Jesus, our names, like the disciples, can be written as citizens of heaven. That is the ultimate joy. Knowing that we are going to a certain place, that there will be no insecurities. We are in this world, it can create so much uncertainty, even though there are joyful moments. But if we were to base our lives in this world for joy and security, we will be disappointed. And that's why Jesus says that we are to look forward to heaven. Look forward to when we will be with Christ. And to rejoice in that. There is security for the one who trusts in Jesus because we will be with him in heaven. A name written into heaven is something more powerful than we think. Because your name will be written and your name will never be removed. Because our security is based on Jesus, not ourselves. And that's what the disciples were to realize. It's not what they did. It's what Jesus has done. Because they are saved for heaven, not by what they've done. It means when they fail, which we all fail, and when we fail, their name isn't removed, and so our name isn't removed. That is security there. We have hope and security that Jesus will save us for eternity. And with this hope and good news, there is a warning. And just as the world is full of insecurities, if we don't turn and follow Jesus, there is a consequence. And John wrote about a wonderful place of endless security in heaven in chapter 21 of Revelation. He also writes about a place that's not wonderful. Hell. It is also endless for those who seek to live following the world and rejecting God. And I know which one I want to be in, and that's heaven with Jesus, the one who died for me and took my punishment. And so for us all, we have a choice. We all face insecurities because of sin. We can taste the victory over insecurities because of Jesus. And we are offered endless security in heaven with Jesus. And so our choice is to follow Jesus today. To turn to him, realize that we are in desperate need of him. And ask him to be king over our lives. So you can taste the victory. But even better than tasting the victory, you have a hope of endless security in heaven with Jesus. If you are interested or you've something sparked something in your mind, we've got a few books at the back that you can grab. This is How One Weekend Can Give You Everything You Ever Wanted. And there is a part towards the end that is about security. So feel free to pick up one of those. And Something Missing as well is there's a little card as well. Mine seems to have disappeared. About 3-1. It's a course starting on the 12th of April. If you'd be interested in getting to know a bit more. And it'll be starting the 12th of April, running for 4 weeks. But please, please, if you feel that God is speaking to you and you feel that you should turn to Him, do not delay it. Turn to Him. Let me just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that it is only through Him that we have security. And Lord, thank you for the privilege that it is that we can taste the victory over insecurities here in this life. But Lord, even more than that, when we are in Christ, when we have trusted Him and we are following Him and He is King of our lives, we have hope, certain hope for endless security in heaven with you. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time, and just be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen.